Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle Podcast. I'm your host, Sammy Jacobs. Co-host TJ Inman will be along with us shortly over the phone. Today we're talking about the Michigan game coming up, Indiana's homecoming. Another chance for a breakthrough. Michigan is ranked 17th in the country after falling to 4-1 last week against in-state rival Michigan State, who they've lost 8 out of the last 10 to. We'll talk about the whether Michigan's going through a crisis or is it just fan drama and all of that stuff. We'll also take a look at keys to the game, what Indiana needs to do to win this week, and what to expect. And we'll go through all of that and more. TJ, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great, Sammy. Doing great. You there?
Yeah, I am here.
Okay, good. Yeah, sorry, broke up for a little bit. I'm ready for this one, man. I am I'm ready to bring some fire. It's a game that I know that Tom Allen and the coaches certainly want. And from a talking about here, we do our best to cover the team from a factual perspective and to stay out of cheerleader mode. And I'm not going to enter into that. So it doesn't do anybody any good, but I will say that just as a fan, I really, really want this game for the Hoosiers. I'm more than ready to knock off one of these big teams and to get it against Michigan, a team that, we have not beaten really in my lifetime. Last time we beat them was 87, which is, when I was born. This one means a lot to me, and I feel like Indiana's in a position where this is one they can get. This is a big game that, while very difficult, and Indiana's going to have to play very well, this is a winnable game.
Yeah, I'll agree with that, and playing them on homecoming at noon just plays in IU's favor a little bit more. It could be a sleepy start for Michigan. They're going through – last week they looked very tight playing against Michigan State. They got off to a good start, fumbled, and it all went downhill from there. But for IU, it should be a big pro-IU crowd. You have lots of alumni back in town. They're expecting the game to be close to a sellout, if not a sellout. I believe that one of our writers, Alex Compton, who works with the Student Athletic Board, is actually the president of SAB. Student tickets are almost sold out. This game, it should be a huge crowd. And if they could knock off Michigan this week in front of all these people, it'll just give, fans have been dying for some tangible evidence of a win over one of the blue blood programs. And as nice as last year's win over Michigan State was, they ended up 3-9, and it just took a little bit of the luster off of that win. But to beat Jim Harbaugh and Michigan and really send them into – I have no idea what Michigan fans are going to do if they lose this week. They went insane last week after losing to Michigan State. If they lose two in a row and then the second one being Indiana, they might just go over the cliff. So who knows? But it's going to be exciting. The weather's supposed to be fantastic in the mid-80s. Low to mid-80s, and I do think Indiana has a real shot here. ESPN's FPI puts it at a 37% chance of a win, and that's probably as good as you'll ever see on FPI with Indiana and playing Michigan. TJ, let's talk about Michigan a little bit. They come in with a lot of question marks. John O'Korn is going to be starting a quarterback. Their offense has been stuck in the mud basically since the first half of the Florida game in the opener. Just what does this offense have to do to get out of the rut they're in?
Well, first off, you know, Michigan, I don't feel that their skill position players, and this is stating the obvious a little bit, but a lot of people felt coming into the season that their young skill position players would, you know, adequately replace the guys that that departed. Amara Darbo, Jehu Chesson, Jake Butt. I didn't buy into that. I think that these guys eventually, you know, Donovan Peoples-Jones, Kakoa Crawford, they are very talented. There's no denying that. You can see their athleticism. They were very highly regarded recruits coming into Ann Arbor. But right now, as it currently stands for this Saturday, they're just not anywhere near the players that the guys that they lost from last season's offense were. And when you take those kind of weapons away, it makes an average quarterback like a Wilton Spate or a John O'Korn, but it makes an average quarterback look average instead of good. You take those weapons away, and it takes a lot away from their offense. Their offensive line is okay. I don't think it's up to the standards of a Big Ten champion, and I think that they paid for that a little bit last week as Michigan State's offense or defensive line was able to pretty much have its way with Michigan's offensive line. And, you know, the Spartans, I think, have a good defense, but I would say it's very comparable to what Indiana puts on the field. So offensively, I think you're going to look for Michigan. I would expect they would open up things a tiny bit. They've been very conservative here the past, really, since Florida. We've really not seen Michigan go deep like they did against the Gators. They took some deep shots against Florida, but that hasn't happened much recently. I would expect them to, and it would not surprise me at all to see some of Brandon Peters on Saturday. You know, his red shirt year is gone. He's already used that, so they don't really gain anything by not having him play, and he saw a tiny bit of action in an earlier game. So it would not shock me to see Brandon Peters, particularly if Michigan's offense is still stuck as it was all of last week. I think you're going to look from a running perspective, I think Chris Evans is their best tailback. He's the guy that's gotten the second most carries. He's an Indianapolis native. So IU fans that follow recruiting are aware of him. He's a guy that Indiana was after for a while. He's had 59 carries on the year. Ty Isaac has been their leading rusher. He's had 61 carries. And he's got 6 yards per carry. So Ty Isaac, on the field at least, has been their best tailback. Chris Evans has the best tools, but Ty Isaac's done the best job on the field. John O'Korn currently averaging or completing 60% of his passes. Like I said, for the most part, they're at the shorter variety. They're not throwing a lot down the field. Grant Perry is their leading receiver. He just has 18 catches. And then their tight end, Sean McKeon, looks like he'll turn into a really good player. He's a physically impressive guy. 14 catches for him. And then the two guys that I mentioned, Kakoa Crawford and Donovan Peoples-Jones, you know, those two, as impressive as they might look as athletes and as good as they might be in a couple of years, right now they've just combined for 10 catches. So I don't really see kind of that go-to receiver that really scares you. They can take over a game. It is possible that one of those guys develops into that, but I don't see that threatening IU on Saturday. And the same for the tailbacks. I don't see a guy that's going to be just impossible to stop. That they certainly don't have an elite running back on this roster. And again, I think that the offensive line is just fine. I mean, it's fine. I'd say it's pretty comparable to IU's, honestly. It's fine. So I look at the offensive and say that Indiana has the best tight end on the field in Ian Thomas. He's expected to be able to go, so hopefully he's 100%. And yep. I think they definitely have the best wide receiver on the field, Simi Cobbs. I don't think either team is going to find much joy running the ball, but, you know, Peyton Ramsey versus John O'Korn, honestly, I'll take Peyton Ramsey due to his mobility, and I like Ramsey a little bit better, and I'm definitely biased in that, but I think Ramsey gives you more ability to be flexible with your offense, so I think Indiana's offense is better than Michigan's at the skill position players right now. And I think that the lines are similar and the quarterbacks are, if you want to call them a wash, you can, but again, I'll take Ramsey a little bit. So I'll go with Indiana's offense to get a slight edge in this game. We'll talk about the defenses in a little bit, which is certainly the teams right now. But I'm expecting Michigan's offense to, if Indiana can hold them to anything under 20 points, I think you'll feel pretty good. And the key for me to doing that is to not allow them to gain any confidence, because I feel like you said, it's a tight team, particularly on offense. I don't think they have a lot of belief in themselves right now because they've struggled for a few weeks in a row, with the exception of the second half of the Purdue game. It's not been good for them so far this year. You got Florida, which is a good performance. We don't really know what that means, as Florida, I don't think, is very good. And then you've got the second half of that Purdue game, when Purdue was pretty worn down at that point and had a couple of key guys ejected for targeting. So it's an offense without a lot of confidence. So I think getting them, keeping them from getting into rhythm is a key. And I think that not allowing any busted big plays, it's something Indiana's defense has done a good job of so far this year, but we saw it a little bit against Penn State, and we saw it a little bit against Georgia Southern. Just not allowing those busted plays where you played really well for 90% of the time, and then just that 10% of the time giving a big chunk play to Michigan, that's something that in a game that I expect to be really tight could swing things. So those are the two keys for me. Look for the Hoosiers to try and get as much pressure as possible on O'Korn and force him into some mistakes. If they can get him into third and long, get some pressure, force him into mistakes, and then you've got to capitalize when you have it. The Hoosiers dropped the pick six last week. Tom Allen talked a little bit about their missed opportunities on defense to get takeaways. That can't happen on Saturday. You've got to take advantage of one when it comes your way.
Yeah, and going back to last year's game, you know, IU is in it for most of the game, leading, and then all of a sudden John O'Korn gets out of a sack, scrambles for 30 yards.
Yeah.
Devon Smith scores a touchdown, and the rest is history. Same with the game 2 years ago when they threw it deep and completed a long pass on third down and took that game to overtime. But to me, Michigan's offensive line has given up 16 sacks this year. They've also given up 38 tackles for loss. They're not great. I mean, if you're talking about how great Michigan's defense is, they only have 40 tackles. They have 40 tackles for loss and 18 sacks. So either they're playing a great defensive line every week, or their offensive line is just average, and Indiana could, you know, especially after these last few weeks, and against Penn State, IU had a whole bunch of tackles for loss, 10 last week against Charleston Southern. They could get in the backfield and create some havoc. stuff this run game, make Okorn throw. He's not having a good season. We saw him. He couldn't throw the ball last year. I know it was a blizzard, but, man, he's completing 56.5% of his passes, 4 interceptions, 1 touchdown. Okorn beat you, and it's strength against strength. This IU secondary should have A'shaun Riggins back. I don't know if they'll – I doubt they'll have Marcelino Ball back, but there's still the strength of that defense or these lines in the secondary, and then you could blitz somebody, bring – force them to throw the ball. And that's – you know, if you pick one or two off, it's good field position. You turn it into a field goal or touchdown, and anything could happen. It's going to be a defense special teams type of game. For me, I don't think – either offense will do much. It'll be the opposite of 2013. So Quinn Norden, Michigan's freshman kicker, is having a fantastic season. Griffin Oaks is having a fantastic season. Those two will play a big, big role in this. Both punters will play a big role in this. Kick returners, will see if Jayshon Harris is back. If not, Luke Timian is a capable punt returner. While he might not have this that Jayshon has, he could still get you 5-10 yards, per return. Is very trustworthy catching the ball and knows what he's doing out there. And you're right, at the receiver position, I would take Indiana's group of receivers over Michigan's. Right now, you have Simi Cobbs. Taysier Mack had a heck of a day. He had a breakout performance last week. Luke Timian is a nice receiver. Wop Fillier made a few catches. Ty Freifogel got in the mix. And then Donovan Hale comes back. That's just another guy, top-end starter guy, who you could throw in there against this defense and see what you could do. My biggest concern for IU is their ability to block Michigan's defensive front seven. Can they give Peyton Ramsey enough time in the pocket or scrambling out to where he could hit some of these guys and you could actually run longer routes instead of, like, when it was against Ohio State? Yeah. Richard Lego doesn't have the mobility, but he had zero time to throw and was just chucking it up, and guys were making plays. I don't think IU could win that way. They're going to have to be more two-dimensional than that. And Peyton Ramsey gives them that opportunity to do that, whether or not they run him exclusively, but they have to be adequate in the passing game, throw the ball deep a couple of times. It's not going to be a monsoon like last week. So we'll see. Let these receivers go up and make plays, and anything could happen. Does anything else concern you on Michigan's defensive side of the ball, TJ?
Well, I think you point out their strength is certainly their front. Chase Winovich is leading their team in sacks. You've got 5.5 of them. Rashawn Gary is a force to be reckoned with, certainly. They've got Maurice Hurst as well. He's a really good defensive lineman. Mike McCray is another one. Devin Bush is a guy that sophomore that really looks like he's going to be a star. He leads the team in tackles and pass breakups. He's got 41 tackles, 5 pass breakups, 4.5 sacks. He looks like an NFL linebacker for sure. And I think that he's probably the one guy on the defense that you worry about kind of making that turnover play, picking off a pass as Ramsey tries to dump one off short under pressure or strip sack. Bush is a playmaker on defense. Their secondary, I think, is pretty good. I don't think it's quite what it was last season, but it is good. Got a number of solid players there. One thing to watch for on their defense, and this is kind of what majorly concerns me, is they are very deep. And something that they have done against teams is make really good adjustments at halftime and just strangle them in the second half. Don Brown is one of the best defensive coordinators in the country. I don't think there's any doubt about that. He's had major success everywhere he's been. And he's had major success at Michigan. And part of the reason is that, number one, he's very aggressive with his defense. They bring pressure in a lot of interesting ways and create a lot of sacks. And number two, he makes really good adjustments at halftime. And you've seen it this season with Michigan. Teams can have a little bit of success early against the Wolverines, but pretty quickly Don Brown makes adjustments. His players pick up on those adjustments and listen and execute well. And in the second half, it's tough sledding. And they just kind of grind offenses down and offensive lines down, just bringing a lot of depth of quality players. And it ends up being where, you know, your offense is going 3 and out nearly every possession of the second half, and your defense, as a result, is on the field way too much. Even if Michigan's offense is not very good, your defense gets worn down, they score a couple touchdowns, and a very close game ends up with Michigan winning by, you know, 17-21. That's happened a few times, and it happened against Purdue. So it happened against Air Force. It happened against Cincinnati. And it's sort of happening against Florida, although that was a little bit more of an impressive performance by Michigan all around. We have not seen that since. But that's what I'm concerned about, because we've seen that happen to Indiana a number of times against these big teams. Is however you want to put it, it's just being able to close the deal. And I think a lot of that is attributed to just a lack of depth. I think that Indiana's first, I'll say like 35 to 40 guys on the roster, I'd put them right there with Michigan this year. I really would. Just in terms of where they are at in their development, how young Michigan is. I know Michigan probably has better talent there, but I think Indiana has better football players or equal football players right now along the first 35 to 40 guys on the roster. It's that back end of the roster that IU needs to prove is capable of hanging with Michigan for 60 minutes and topping them for 60 minutes. So that's what concerns me, is the Hoosiers getting worn down because of a lack of offensive success, forces the defense to be on the field for a little bit too long. Michigan gets a couple of big plays as a result, and there you go. The Wolverines end up with a victory against a worn down Hoosier squad. So that's all that concerns me. But I think the Hoosiers need to move Peyton Ramsey around. I think he's going to be their most effective running game. I'd love to see Morgan Ellison have a nice day, because I think he's the type of back that could have success against Michigan. And success against Michigan means you're getting like 4 yards a carry. That would be a good day against Michigan if Indiana could do that, and avoiding lots of tackles for losses, which puts you behind the schedule on offense. That'd be a good day running the ball for IU. And I think Ellison could do that. And obviously securing the ball and not having costly turnovers, because that's how Michigan scored their touchdown, was off of a turnover against Michigan State. If not for that, they wouldn't have scored any touchdowns. You cannot give their offense any help by giving them the ball on a short field.
No, and that, it goes both ways. IU's going to have to take the ball away on defense. I think they've only had 4 takeaways all year. They're minus 7 on turnover margin, which is not good. I don't know where they are, but I think they're in the hundreds nationally, and that's not good. Yeah. Rushing the ball, IU, even against the last two inferior opponents, they're still only averaging 3.5 yards per carry. That needs to get better. I wouldn't rely on this running game, traditional running game, to just run it up the middle, maybe to keep them honest. But they need to get some of these guys out on the edge and get some speed, maybe see some jet sweeps from WAP, see some more screen passes. You know, as much as fans are harping on Mike Majette and Devontae Williams, when they get screen passes, they're on the outside. They're very good at taking those, you know, for first downs, for big yardage gains, as long as they can hold on to the ball. And, you know, getting those plays, even a drive that gets one first down is a win for Indiana.
Yep.
You know, as you said, Michigan would like to wear down the IU. They have more depth than IU. And just through recruiting, that's always been – you know, it's been history. You know, Michigan has 85 scholarship players who are probably overall better than Indiana's 85 scholarship players. Otherwise, this would be an upset, and we wouldn't be talking about a 30-year potentially a 30-year losing streak. So getting the ball to the outside, getting first downs on drives that could have been three and outs, and for the love of whatever is good, get a takeaway. The Michigan has had trouble holding on to the ball. I think they turned it over five times last week, even though it was in a rainstorm. Go get the ball. John O'Korn is not, he's not Tom Brady. He's not Brian Greasy. He's not Chad Henne back there. Go take the ball from them.
He's not Jake Rudock.
He is not Jake Rudock, who Brian Noor's defense made look like a first-round NFL draft pick. And if Indiana's ahead late in the game or at halftime, you're going to see Michigan tighten up so tight where they might snap. It's unbelievable how tight this team is for a coach who's been, I think he's 24-7 in his first 31 games, but he's 1-4 against Ohio State and Michigan State. And, that's who he was brought in to beat. Brady Hoke had the same record through the same amount of games, and he beat the same type of teams, but they're not Jim Harbaugh was not brought in to beat Indiana and Purdue. Jim Harbaugh was brought in to beat Michigan State, Ohio State, and Penn State, and return Michigan football to the Big Ten championship. He hasn't done that.
Yeah.
It's year three. Michigan fans are getting a little impatient, but, if they're losing in the third quarter, you could see that team just tighten up, because Jim Harbaugh is not a guy who's going to give every time you see something go wrong for him, he's throwing a fit like a two-year-old on the sideline. He's throwing his headset. He's, throwing his play cards, everything like that. So, if I was a player playing for him, it doesn't really inspire a lot of confidence. It's kind of the opposite of Tom Allen, where Tom Allen, he's also fired up, but he's high-fiving guys. He's telling them, let's go, be strong. It's a whole different thing. Whereas, when it hits the fan, Jim Harbaugh throws more stuff at the fan. So we'll see if Indiana. That's another key I'm going to put into our keys to victory is jump out to a lead, make this team squirm a little bit, and then hold on for dear life. Get a lead, get some tack on points, and do that. And you're going to have to win the time of possession, even though I think it's an overrated stat. You're going to have to play excellent in special teams, which IU is capable of doing. And you're going to have to get a takeaway or two and not turn the ball over. So that it's there. This is probably the most winnable game they've had against Michigan in a long time. And they want to break through. They had a mini breakthrough last week, ending the shutout streak. This is a time to bust through that wall with all these people back for homecoming.
I completely agree. And you mentioned special teams play. We mentioned before the Penn State game, special teams in a big game. You've got to win the special teams battle if you're going to have a chance. As we've said, Penn State and Michigan are different teams. I feel like Penn State is in a different class this year than the Wolverines are. I thought that coming into the season, and it's been proven correct so far. So occasionally it's right, just occasionally, though. Now, for me, I look at special teams as meaning don't make any crucial mistakes. Like, hey, don't fumble a punt return or a kickoff return and give the ball to the opponent on a short field. I look at it as on your coverage. Don't allow any big returns to give the opponent any momentum or give their offense a short field. I look at it as the kicking game. Continue to execute on field goals, extra points, and kickoffs. No kicking the ball out of bounds to give Michigan the ball, basically like giving them a couple of first downs. The punting, you can't afford to have any shanks to give them a short field.
No line drives to Jabril Peppers. I know he's not there, but that
right,
TJ almost
right.
jumped out of the press box at Michigan last year. Every time Joseph Gideon had a line drive punt, you know, Hayden Whitehead has been really good. He's struggled the last couple of weeks. I think he had problems dealing with the wind last week and trying to
last week was tough. Yeah.
Trying to kick into that wind, you have to do it on a line drive and hope you get a good bounce. But this week it's better weather and you know, hopefully he goes back to his form. We saw it at Virginia and then against Georgia Southern. But you know, catch the ball on punt returns, you know, make the tackle on punt coverage and on kick coverage. You know, you don't have to play hero, but you can't be the reason they lose.
Gotta play clean on special teams. And, you know, if you make a huge play on special teams, it certainly could swing this game. There's no doubt about that, one way or the other. So I guess it's prediction time, and, you know, it's hard to feel incredibly confident about something that, you know, you really have not seen happen with your own eyes. You know, I mean, I was alive for the last win against Michigan, but just barely. And I, you know, I've been an IU fan for most of my life, but I am able to say I don't remember winning against Michigan when I was about a month old. So for me, it's hard to feel real confident about beating these guys, and I never expect it going in until this year. There's something about this defense, and there's something about Tom Allen, and there's something about the circumstances surrounding this game and the things that I've seen from this IU team and that I've seen from this Michigan team. I've watched each of their games this year, and I think that Indiana has a real chance in this one. We've been waiting for a long time for this breakthrough victory like this, and a loss here does not break the season. It doesn't mean IU screwed. It doesn't mean things aren't going in the right direction. It doesn't mean we can't still go to a bowl game. But this is a huge opportunity for Indiana, a huge opportunity, and I think they grasp it. I'm going to go Indiana getting a win in a tight, nervous, incredibly difficult to watch because of the stress level that is going to be going on with diehard fans like ourselves. I think it's going to be a real tight one the whole way, a nail biter, if you will. Indiana comes out on top due to Peyton Ramsey's legs, their defense, and I think they force a couple of key turnovers on Michigan that put Indiana over the top. So for me, I'll go Indiana 24, Michigan 17. The Hoosiers defeat the Wolverines for the first time since 1987 and improved to 4-2 on the season.
Yeah, it's going to be another nail biter, you know, another one where you're going to be on edge the entire game. This game, I was talking to Matt Weaver about it, and this might be a game that is first of 20 wins.
It could be, yeah.
But, you know, we'll see. It could, you know, Indiana's going to have to get points where they could get them. It's you can't pass up field goals just because, well, you're not going to beat this team with field goals. You are going to beat this team with field goals. You have to get points against this defense when you can. And sometimes three is a lot better than zero, even if you're passing up the seven. I get it. Take the three. TJ, I'm with you. I do think Indiana is going to win this one. I think it's going to be 21-17. You know, just they it's time. It's now is the time to break through, and it's going to be first of 20 wins. And if Indiana could do all the things that we've laid out here in the last half hour, protect the ball, take the ball away from Michigan, play clean on special teams. You know, protect the quarterback. They don't have to be perfect, but now is the time. You've got a chance at one of these blue bloods. The blood's in the water for Michigan. It's time to attack and, you know, have that killer instinct and show the games on ABC. It's time to show the nation that IU is – it's time to beat one of these guys and have your moment in the sun. And – I'm really excited to watch this game, and I hope fans are there, just not to tailgate. I hope fans go into the game, get your tickets, go into the game, and I know it's an early start, but man, go in and be loud and help this team get a victory that they've been waiting for a long time. All right, TJ, that does it for our show tonight. We'll be watching the game together. Unfortunately, we can't be at the game. I have a wedding to go to at 4:30, and we'll be watching together, and we'll have our other writers live at the game as well. So, TJ, thanks for joining us as always. We'll talk next week, and I'll see you on Saturday.
Absolutely. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Have a good rest of the week. Go Hoosiers.
Yep. It's the game's at noon. Kickoff is at noon. TV channel is ABC. Get there early. Be loud and root your Hoosiers on to victory. Homecoming is a special time. The weather is supposed to be spectacular. There's no better place to be in October than Bloomington, Indiana, for a football game in the fall. Enjoy it. Soak it all in. And we'll be back next week to preview Michigan State.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.